This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 174 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max.
Hi, David. Hey, you know, both of us had kind of an exciting week since both of our spouses are December babies and had birthdays this week.
Milestones, yes. We couldn't do this show without them. They're behind the scenes. Drone Mama a little bit more is more up front than Professor Vanderhoof, but we can't do it without them and their support. And you know, when you're sitting at dinner and your wife says to you, "Do you know, I think I was being spied on by a drone over the turnpike tolls today," you know they have a vested interest in the show. So, happy birthday to Drone Mama and Professor Vanderhoof, and Max and I, we, of course, appreciate everything they do for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, despite the all the activities we've been involved in for the birthdays this week, we do have some news stories to talk about.
Yeah, we do. One would be, we're going to talk a little bit more about FLIR, UAV mapping down under, and some open source technology. So I think probably we should get this started because it's getting cold and I don't want to be in this room.
Okay, let's get started.
Well, our first story, FLIR buys UAS firm Prox Dynamics following Point Grey acquisition. Believe it or not, FLIR is actually a company besides forward-looking infrared. And they purchased Prox Dynamics for $134 million in cash.
FLIR has been on a little bit of an acquisition binge lately. Prox Dynamics is kind of interesting. They develop, well, nano-class UAS. On their website, Prox says that their, quote, core mission is to develop, produce, and sell the world's smallest and most advanced personal reconnaissance systems, or PRS, for the modern warfighter. So these guys build little teeny tiny drones.
Yeah, I forget what it was I was watching one of those movies. It's a dystopia, and there are people running around, teenagers and stuff, but one of the guys had targeting drones that flew off of his back and proceeded to provide beyond line of sight targeting for his laser cannon. And this is kind of where this is going. You know, these tiny little drones will act as spotters for our warfighters.
Yes, yesterday's science fiction is today's reality, I think, David, and we see that Prox Dynamics has actually deployed their PD-100 Black Hornet PRS with UK forces in Afghanistan. So this is more than just a concept being tested. So it's interesting that FLIR Systems has brought them into the fold. There's a press release in which they say the addition of the Prox Dynamics business will augment FLIR's surveillance segment by extending FLIR's airborne sensor product line and fully leveraging this Lepton technology that they have. FLIR intends to invest in optimizing the PRS platform to further enhance the range, cost, flexibility, and performance of the system. The Prox Dynamics team will benefit from close interaction with FLIR's thermal sensor development group, as well as the ability to leverage FLIR's brand distribution and customer support. Business will become FLIR's unmanned aerial system line of business, operating within the surveillance segment. So a little bit of interesting consolidation going on here.
Well, it's going to happen. We've talked about the upcoming year in 2017, I think last episode or the episode before, where we're talking about what we're going to see and be talking about in 2017. And I think, Max, you and I are going to, now that we've got our legal degrees, I think we're going to start working into engineering and sensors, because I think the hardware now is going to be not necessarily about the aircraft itself, but about what it's capable of doing. And in this case, it's a synergy. You know, FLIR is putting their technology onto another technology, so that technology can benefit from it. So you can see, and this is, and small UAS is going to be really surveillance, persistent surveillance for warfighters.
Now we see another example of consolidation taking place down under.
Yeah, this was from UASvision.com. CD4 Intel has acquired Airbotics. Both are Perth-based, and CD4 Intel specializes in asset inspection, mapping, and data analysis. So we've got a data manager buying a tool to Airbotics to create that data. Would you agree?
Yeah, CD4D is an interesting company. They've done some shark detection development using drones and computer vision. Airbotics brings autonomous systems background to this little link up. Their client applications include things like inspection and testing and geospatial survey, scientific research, and situational awareness. We've talked about Airbotics in the past. So, again, another example of some consolidation. And I think that we're going to see a lot of this going forward, at least in certain segments of this industry. I think it's characterized by a lot of smallish companies that have selected kind of a niche area to focus on, bringing their expertise to bear in that niche area. And I think for some of them, they'll be able to survive as niche companies. But in many cases, I think that combining the assets, combining the intellectual property and knowledge of several smaller companies into something that's a little bit bigger and a little bit more comprehensive is the way this industry is going to go. Now, I don't think we're going to see consolidation in terms of DJI acquiring other drone manufacturers. Those just don't have the same kind of feel for being ripe for acquisition to me personally. But in these other areas, like the examples we've just cited from these last two stories, I think we're going to see a lot of this going forward.
And it's kind of strange because you're making a niche product out of multiple niche products. You're going to see that in this case, C4D is going to be able to provide a product that does specific things by purchasing Airbotics. So they're going to have a specific aircraft that has a specific suite to do a specific task. We know the jack of all trades, masters of none, tend to not work very well. So you might start seeing these, well, if you want to do X, you need to go purchase Y. What do you think, Max?
It's hard to predict, I think, where this will end up. One of the interesting aspects is that many of these companies, if not most, are privately held. These are not publicly traded companies. You as an investor looking to think ahead as to what this market is going to do and who's going to survive, it's difficult to place your bets because they're privately held. But I think over time that'll change. I think we'll see these privately held companies begin an acquisition process, begin a consolidation process, then going public. And, you know, there's the part where the point where, you know, you as an investor might be able to jump in. But hey, it's all crystal ball stuff. 12 months from now, who knows where this will all end up.
I listen to talk radio in the morning, and one of the hosts has a prediction file. If he or she, they make a prediction on the show, they add it to the prediction file, so to see if they're validated or not when whatever occurs. So I think maybe, Max, we should start a prediction file that, you know, we said blank, and, you know, we'll make a Google Doc saying, Max said this on, so.
Well, you want to hold us accountable to our
to our speculations.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's tough. Most people who speculate don't do that. That's for sure.
Well, yeah. So, well, let's talk about not necessarily speculating, but maybe spectating. How's that for a segue? first one would be the Paparazzi UAV. This is from, I think Max likes this website, which is opensource.com. And this, they have a couple of drone projects, four open source drone projects. And the first one is a Paparazzi UAV.
Yeah, it might be kind of an unfortunate name, because Paparazzi doesn't have you know, the best connotation. But what we have in this article is, yeah, four open source drone projects. Open source, of course, being an alternative to buying proprietary hardware and software solutions. And this the Paparazzi UAV, it's an open source drone hardware and software project, and it includes autopilot systems, ground control, ground station software for multi-copters, fixed-wing helicopters, a variety of different aircraft. These are designed with autonomous flight as the primary focus, manual flying being kind of a secondary consideration. And they have a wiki that describes the different hardware and software that are supported under this project. So if you're interested in open source, that's a, you know, an interesting place to go and learn more and maybe participate, maybe make use of the resources that are there. There's a second one here, the Drone Code. This is a Linux Foundation-sponsored project, Drone Code. And they're building a common open source platform for UAV development. They've recently had a split, though. Some of the people have kind of peeled off of Drone Code.
Uh-oh. So we have an Apple IBM, we have an Apple Microsoft in the drone universe that's going to occur. That's not good.
Well, what this is it's a new project. It's called PX4. According to the PX4 website, and we'll have all of these links in the show notes, of course, but according to the website, they consider PX4 to be an independent, open-source, open hardware project aiming at providing standard high-end autopilots to the industrial, academic, and enthusiast communities. They have a number of different organizations that are supporting it. That's the second open source project from this article.
And we have Open Drone Map, which is processes aerial imagery into point clouds, digital surface elevation models. This is kind of cool because I like when they take these data and make them into 3D maps.
Yeah, that data processing can be really, really kind of fascinating. Another thing this can do is orthorectify imagery. Now, there's a word you don't hear too often, David, orthorectify, but basically that means...
you know, I don't use that kind of language around you.
It's a tough one. It's, in concept, it's simple. It's lining up the imagery to a known coordinate system. But the math behind that is, it's not insignificant. There again, they have a project wiki that provides more information about Open Drone Map, and we'll have a link to that one in the show notes. And then the fourth open source project in this article, David, I find this one particularly interesting, maybe easier to relate to.
Yeah, okay. Which is the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's College of Journalism and Mass Communications. They have a drone journalism lab. Now, we're sort of drone journalists because we talk about drones. This is using drones and using at the ethical and legal use of drones. So they actually have a 23-page operations manual, and you will have a link to the show notes to download it so that you can properly use your small UAV when you're doing journalism. So, but don't fly it over a fire or people. Or it is kind of amazing, Max. We talk about it being concrete and more relatable, but there's probably still more don't do's than there are do's as far as drone journalism goes.
Yeah, and I think that this manual that they've developed, it covers a lot of that. Some of the sections in the manual include one on ethics and privacy. There's a general operating procedures section. Then they break it out into pre-flight, flight, post-flight, and logging. It also contains a number of checklists, operating checklists that are useful, and also some guidance for emergency procedures. When things go wrong, what procedures, what process should you follow? But all of this is intended to be a guide for conducting drone journalism fieldwork. And it does look at Part 107 and take into account the drone regulations here in the United States. But they also consider how drones are perceived by the general public. It works that into this. The technologies that are presently available for drones, and also just the personal experiences of the folks at the Drone Journalism Lab. So we'll have that in the show notes. All four of these open source projects are pretty interesting, I think, and represent an alternative maybe in some ways to just going out to the big box store or to Amazon.com and having a drone delivered to your doorstep. Open source is another approach.
Spoken like the engineer who has a Raspberry Pi. I only eat Raspberry Pi. I don't build them. So we've got a video of the week. Evidently, we just got this via Roger. I guess it came in either today or yesterday.
Today, just a few hours, not too many hours ago. So I'm glad we were able to catch that. And this is about the Dutch Drone Awards for 2016. The winners have been announced.
And Cone Swingenberg has been giving a drone award for his video of Sri Lanka. As the winner of the aerial photography category, he also wins a €250 gift card from droneshop.nl and a permanent place in the Dutch Aerial Movie Makers Hall of Fame. So we'll put the video called Sri Lanka 2016 in our show notes as the video of the week. Dutch Aerial Movie Makers Hall of Fame. Do we have a United States Aerial Movie Makers Hall of Fame?
I don't know, but if we don't, we should, I think. Yeah, that's great. And
of course, we have to give it credit to the Dutch, who always are ahead of the game when it comes to stuff like that.
Thank you, Mr. Vanderhoof. Tim Van Villet won the award in the racing category. This was for a high-speed drone video that he shot above the Dutch tulip fields. And we'll have a link to that video in the show notes as well. Both of these are really fantastic. I mean, it's beautiful aerial photography, both different styles, different techniques, but both equally spectacular. Sri Lanka, I don't think you've ever seen images of Sri Lanka quite like these. And this sort of high-speed tour through the tulip fields is kind of amazing. All the different colors and the patterns, and it's almost a artistic, geometric kind of study. Really fascinating. So you can learn more about that at DroneDutchAwards.com. It helps if you speak Dutch or can read Dutch, I guess. And we mentioned drones.nl. They organize this annual Drone Dutch Awards event. So we appreciate hearing about the winners, and congratulations to them.
I wonder if they had it. I have to go back and look to see if they had any Vanderhoof tulips in there. There actually is a Vanderhoof tulip.
Really? What does it look like? Do you know?
I do, because we actually had them planted at my house growing up. It's a white tulip with yellow trim, and the tulip has got the pointy top, so it's got the five very sharp edged kind of tulip. So it's a very pretty tulip. So let's talk a little bit about life. We have a little short, but I want to talk about two things that occurred to me as far as drones going. We've come a long way, Max, because I was sitting there pumping my gas at my local BP, and they have video screens built into the pumps.
Right,
so you
yes.
can watch these news clips. And one of the things that these news clips came up with was Disney talking about flying drones over their parks.
Really? How about that?
And I was thinking, wow, I'm pumping gas and I can't escape drones. But part of it was actually a comedic joke. So why is Disney developing drones to fly over their parks? So they can hunt and capture Aladdin. So I thought that was kind of funny.
And clever.
The other part was I was watching Disney Channel, and they actually have a on Disney XD, which is their adulter. Is that a real word? Adulter cartoon network. It's where I watch my Star Wars Rebels, because I have to watch my Star Wars cartoon. But they have a racing league, and it was really kind of amazing. These quadcopters, but they're racing quads. They are kind of treated like the old school, you remember the old school IRL, Indy Racing League?
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Where they all got Trans Ams, and the whole point was we eliminate everything but your skill as pilots. Well, that's what this was. So it was interesting watching them fly through a building and fly through obstacles with these pretty much disposable quadcopters. So I recommend Drone Racing League, I think is DRL on Disney XD. Take a gander at it. It was kind of amazing. First, they're using first-person view with binoculars and flying them through obstacles and over things and under things and through doorways and up. So it was a really interesting closed course that I was watching. And I believe if you have Comcast here in the States, you probably can watch it on demand. So I highly recommend going out to Disney XD and watching the Drone Racing League, because it was a half hour of fairly entertaining television.
Hmm. Interesting, yeah. It wasn't too long ago where you mentioned drones amongst the general public, and you'd get a reaction and a perception that's quite a bit different than what you find occurring today. And they've definitely sort of crept into the culture to quite a large extent. And I guess I have to give DJI credit for a lot of that. I think that, with the dominance of DJI and the way that they have provided platforms, video platforms to so many people, I think that's really what's driven this, much more than the commercial application part of it, at least to this point. So I think where we are today, I really do think that a lot of that is because of DJI, and without them, we would not be anywhere near in the the current position we're in. But hey, just my opinion.
Oh, come on. All right, let's be honest. You and I single-handedly have changed the world's opinion
on
UAVs.
No. Don't claim that.
We know that that's not true, but it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, it has.
It's 174 episodes later. The world has changed, and Christmas is coming, and don't forget to register your drones. And evidently, you have to do it in Canada, too. I think we'll have to find that link. I saw in our, from our Slack team. So I guess, Max, we should probably run this up so we can go spend some more birthday time with our significance.
Absolutely. So we want to thank all of you for listening to the UAV Digest. Keep listening to us. You can find our homepage at theuavdigest.com. If you want to go straight to the show notes for this episode, that's at theuavdigest.com/174.
And of course, you can find us on multiple social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook/theuavdigest. You can find us on Twitter @uavdigest. And of course, we'd love for you to join our ever-growing and very conversive all of a sudden Slack team. And of course, you can send us a request to david@theuavdigest.com or feedback@theuavdigest.com or max@theuavdigest.com. And we'll send you a link so you can join the Slack team in the conversation. And a lot of good stuff there, a lot of in-depth conversations about stuff I wouldn't really expect. A lot of electronics, a lot of drones, technology. So not only for aircraft, but for drones. You can always become a sponsor of the show and a patron at patreon.com. You can always purchase some swag at cafepress.com. And of course, all of those links are at the show notes. But most importantly, and I'm going to beg this week, is go out to iTunes or Google Play and leave us a review so other people can find us. We haven't had one in a while, so I'd like for us to at least get a couple more. It only takes a few minutes, and it helps us stay on the forefront and get better guests as well as lets other people find us. So I guess with that, I'll say happy birthday to Drone Mama and Professor Vanderhoof, and this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.